Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show, and I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot lives in a movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice knows what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moss and Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's walls, Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Marco.
Hello, everybody. DJ, how are you?
Much better. Awesome. How are you?
Yeah, you sound good.
Yeah. You know, life is great when you don't have that crud creeping up on you. You know?
Good.
But we got to get this out to all the Valentines. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody that's celebrating tomorrow from the Bigfoot crew and Bigfoot and the world. Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm
before we start
up here
the show
in
out,
West Virginia.
I should tell you what we have. Who we have on, and then second of all, I need to explain how to get to the web page to take a look at a lot of these pictures that I have.
Okay. Cool.
I told everybody I would get pictures. You remember that sample I sent you about the cloaking?
Yeah.
I have that link up there, so one of them. So.
Okay.
Everybody that's near a computer, or if you got your computer on your phone, if you would like to follow through later when we go through the pictures that I have, Bigfoot pictures, and also a cloaking demo, you need to go to bigfootlive.net. That's www.bigfootlive.net. What will come up will be a radio show page. Across the top of the page, you will see some different pages, and the one that you want to go to is press release. When you click on press release, basically you're going to have two Bill's pictures and cloaking demo. Click either one of those and it'll come up in a bunch of pictures. We'll go through the pictures and I'll explain them, where they came from, how they got them. The cloaking demo is just a cloaking demo, kind of a military cloaking demo. Some non-military people.
Very non.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
I was kind of blown away
with some of those the demos that you sent me with the military and what they're doing now. You know, it's just like I remember 20, 25 years ago, how it was oxygen longer than that. 30 years ago when they were testing the stuff out, you know, you wouldn't think about it. And you kind of go, that can't be true. I'm here to tell you, folks, it was in the test phase 30-something years ago. And pretty much the way it works is it's cameras on the back taking pictures of behind you and putting it on like a screen, you know, technology-wise on the front of you. And it was pretty horrible back then, but what's going on now, it's pretty wild. It's like, Keith telling me, almost like that Predator kind of camouflage where you kind of blend in with your background. Kind of neat. Almost reminds me of that show, what was that new one with Robert Downey Jr.? He played that detective.
Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson in that one scene where he had actually took that full body suit and painted it to the section of that room where, you know, he disappeared into the wall. It's kind of cool, kind of neat.
Well, what's amazing is it's not what I'm showing you is just a cloth. It's non-electronic. It's just a cloth that has special effects on it, and no electronics involved with it. Okay, but some of the others they have, my God, they a whole tank. They got a tank that can. Pretty much, when they say invisible, it's more than visual. Basically, you know, you have the heat and a bunch of other things, electronics, heat, a whole bunch of stuff that they have to try to minimize to so that it's non-detectable. And they're doing it now. I mean, really, they're doing it. Something else. So, but anyway, what the question came up before was. That Bigfoot may have some of those iridescent qualities to its skin and or fur or hair, and that makes it. You know, people are talking about disappearing right out of thin air and going different dimensions. My belief is not anything to do with dimensions. What it is everything is physical in this world. And not that you couldn't step into a dimension, but I've never, you know, I don't know how the hell you'd find one. But the main thing, the thing that I'm looking at is the qualities of the creature could have some natural things to it that would allow it to look near invisible. And which it seems it does in some cases. Anyway, that's enough. That was from last week. And all we brought forward is a bunch of stuff for this week.
Well, you know, we got Keith in Alabama, and he promised us that he was going to send some pictures in and talk about a little bit about.
And he didn't. I didn't get them, you got them, and I didn't get them. And I don't know what
Wonderful.
Happened.
Okay.
But that's okay. We can do that. I can get it up there for next week or for another time, but we can talk about it. And
well,
can
I mean,
I put
sure.
Leon, see, Keith is on. Can I put? Can I put everybody on mic? That
well,
way we got
let's bring Keith on first, and let's talk about you know the picture and his theory and thoughts about the natural reactive camo, and we'll go from there. We'll move from that.
Okay. Did you want to have everybody take a look at the while we're talking about it? Take a look at that demo of the camo stuff.
Sure.
The cloaking camo.
Yeah.
I'll just say it again, just so everybody has it. If you're on a computer or your cell phone that has internet access, just go to www.bigfootlive.net. That's www.bigfootlive.net. When you get in, it'll bring up a page, and the page it brings up will be our radio page. Across the top are different pages. You want to go to the page that's marked press release. And then in press release, there's going to be Bill's pictures, which is a PDF file, and a cloaking demo, which is a link to a video. Those are the things
Sounds
that
good.
We have. That's it. Go ahead.
All right. So, Keith's from Alabama. We all know that he's been out there doing some research in the area, Alabama, Georgia area. And he's been getting some pics on his game cams. And if you guys remember from last week, near the end of the show, he was talking a little bit about how he thinks and he theorizes about some of these creatures. You know, they have this natural reactive or camouflage ability that they blend in with their background. Keith, how are you this evening?
All right, TJ. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, buddy. Much better than the last couple of weeks since I got rid of the crud. And, you know,
Good
I've been
deal.
Sitting here thinking to myself, looking at your, you know, the pictures you sent me. And, you know, there's some anomalies I can see. Not everybody's eyes are going to be able to understand what they're looking at. And you have to realize that some people are probably going to go, huh? What's he looking at? Is he nuts?
Oh, yeah.
Is TJ nuts? You know, but folks, you got to, you know, when people, sometimes you're sitting with people, they say they see ghosts and you don't, you can't
right.
tell them that they don't. It's not that way. You know, some people
no.
hear things differently, see things differently. You know, a fresh set of eyes sees a problem differently.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's exactly what we're looking at here. Why don't you kind of come in and tell us a little bit about your thoughts on it, your theory on how it happens, how they blend in, and then we'll move into the cameras and the pictures.
Right. What we're seeing here is they can actually, it's almost like the demo that Marco's got posted. I'm not really sure the exact science behind it, but it's almost like it can project or duplicate whatever terrain is around it onto itself to blend in. Trail cam feature, I think, is a real good example of it. On the far right bottom view, you can see the arm wrapped around the base of a tree, and you can make out individual fingers. And for some reason, it didn't seem to work as well on nails. You can actually make out thumbnail, fingernails. You can see the outline of the arm, the hand, and all wrapped around the tree. And then the individual himself is on the back side of the tree. And you can, for some reason, that part of his body's not really cloaked. I mean, it's like a ginger color, dark ginger color there. But his arm, it looks like you've taken an image of the leaf litter on the ground and superimposed it onto his arm.
Okay. So while people are looking at this picture and you're trying to explain what you're seeing, people that are going, I don't see it. How do you explain to them How do you guide them into seeing what you are looking at?
Well, the first thing, I mean, and there's no telling how many of these things I missed prior to actually teaching myself what to look for. The first thing you have to realize is you know, and just like you were saying before, you know, brush can fool you, paradigm, whatever you want to call it. But when you have something like what I've got on this trail cam picture here, you're not going to see a pile of leaves shaped like an arm actually above the ground where it's casting a shadow. You know, you have to watch. You look basically for the outlines, what we've been doing. Their eyes will give them away. Their thumbnails, fingernails will give them away. You have to teach yourself what to look for. I mean, these things are professionals at hiding. I mean, that's what they do. And until you teach your brain and your eyes, you know, what to look for, and you can accept the fact that they exist, you're going to have a hard time finding them. I mean, it's a mental thing as well as a visual thing.
Mm-hmm. So, are you at the website?
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't you describe the picture you're looking at so people realize which one they're looking at there?
Okay, now the one picture, like the one that I sent you, I sent to Mark, and actually I resent it just a little bit ago, but it's not posted. I think, I don't know how you got it, you didn't, because I forwarded it to both of you.
Gotcha.
The particular picture that we're talking about, I think he's only received a copy as of right now.
Right.
But, you know, a good example of it is one that Marco has posted, and it's like on a little ledge, and it's got two red circles, and the one on the fatter looking circle to the left is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. I can see that individual myself plain as day. Somebody who doesn't know what to look for, hasn't trained themselves to notice there's anomalies out there, is not going to see it as easily. But that creature that's in this picture that he has posted is doing the same exact type cloaking that the ones here do. I mean, spot on. I mean, exact same technique.
So what kind of anomalies should the novice be looking for, Keith?
Well, once you train yourself what to look for, TJ, you can make out arms, their legs. You can actually see the outline of their head. It's not a perfect camouflage by any means. Like on the demo of the cloth, you can see the edge of the cloth no matter what. And once you train yourself what to look for, you can see that same edge on these creatures. You know, it's the outline of a body instead of the outline of a cloth.
Okay, that makes sense. So are you saying that the creatures has hair or its skin? How is it blending in? How is it do? What do you call it? Reactive camo? No, you didn't call it that.
No, we call it environment reactive camouflage.
Okay.
Because what it does, it mimics whatever terrain these creatures are in. It will actually mimic that, you know, the look of that terrain that surrounds it.
Okay. And how do you think it's doing that?
I think it's all in the achromatic hair. The ability to absorb whatever color light hits it and redirect that same color. Almost like a prismatic effect, almost.
So what you're looking at, the light's bouncing back to your eyes, your brain is perceiving something different.
Right. Exactly. They call it achromatic.
Which means what?
It's a neutral, it's like a neutral pigmentation would be the best way to describe it. It has its own color, but it has the ability to, like I said, reflect whatever spectrum, the color, whatever color light is around it, it has the ability to take that color,
taken in and then redirected back out to the human eye.
So is it bending light in a sense?
It's more of a, I don't know if I'd call it bending it. I mean, I guess it's one way to look at it, TJ, but it's more of a reflector, a reflective type. Say, you can picture 100,000 million microscopic mirrors, you know, that are flexible.
Oh, okay.
In a small area.
So wouldn't that reflect what was ever in front of it then?
Well, you would think, but the way that it does is, it's kind of hard to explain.
Sure.
To picture a 360-degree mirror, if you could.
Okay.
It's able to take light, a light source behind it, and the little super microscopic mirrors, if you want to call it that, are positioned in such a way as to where one mirror will take this piece of light or blue color, bounce to the one in front of it, which will redirect it to the one in front of it using a mirror above it, and so on, to that image is redirected around to your eye.
Okay.
Yeah, if you look up, the best thing to do is Google achromatic, and it really breaks it down to where you can get your head around a little bit better.
You know, I'm trying to grasp this here, and I'm thinking, for some reason, you know, it reminds me of something Jimmy Boots told me about the spirits and the world out there that we live in now. When you're filming on certain areas, you get this almost, you're looking straight at it, but you don't see the smoky spirit. But when you're filming through it, because the lens of the eye of the camera, it picks it up. Are you kind of explaining something like that? Jimmy,
Yeah, sort of, kind of. Well, I tell you what we have found also, especially this holds true at night, a focused laser beam, red, blue does real well. Red does okay, but blue, green, it will just basically overload that effect. I mean, it'll actually expose them, so to speak.
Okay.
Yeah. Blue does real well for some reason, like a purplish blue or infrared. It'll almost scramble infrared light wave, but a blue laser beam or a purple looking.
In the movie business, what they use is they'll use a green screen to blank out any of the, you know, like Star Wars or all these other movies where the guys are going through all these different machines where they really don't even have a machine. It's just a blank background. And then when they put the pictures in there, they come in. You know what I'm talking about? Makes it neutral. It makes it neutral.
Yes. Well, this the way their hair works, I mean, it's really, like I said, it's almost like it's redirecting whatever color light is around it. It'll take the reflected green light off of a shrubbery. And it'll actually make their body look almost green to a point. But, it's not just green. It's whatever. If you have a limb in front of a green bush, you're going to have the green hitting your eyes. You're going to have the line of the stick that's in front of it there. All that is colors. And it redirects all those colors to your eyes. And, you know, just basically recreates that image to the human brain and to where basically you just look right past it.
Am I online here at all?
Bobby, yes, you are.
Yeah.
Hey, my brother from another mother. And Marco, how you guys doing? Hey, I got a question for your guest. We have hair samples that we've been able to send out for DNA analysis and whatnot, but they just look like regular hairs. Is there something that this creature can do to change that?
That's something we've been trying to figure out, is how they do it, because we've seen some of the same creatures have this
cloaking ability in one in some pictures, then we can catch them out in a distance of like in a on in a ground nest or a tree nest, and they'll have a natural ginger color or a gray color or, you know, whatever the natural color is. You know, we hadn't figured that part of it out, but we did know that we've seen that same creature hiding on the ground or in bush, and it'll be you know, exhibiting that cloaking ability.
Yeah, well, I hear what you're saying. I got to tell you that I did one time in Texas. I did see one, and it ran over by a tree and stood like the tree. And
right.
I could still make it out, but it was almost like it disappeared. But
yep,
it was still there.
Exactly.
I mean, I could tell it was what it was.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, kind of.
What we're trying to find out now, is this something they have control over, or is it just something that occurs naturally like in a chameleon?
Yeah, from my experience, my guess it's something they have control over.
That's kind of
you
what
know,
we're
and,
leaning toward. Yeah, that's kind of
yeah.
where we're leaning at this point.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I mean, if you ever got to see one at all, you're really blessed because they don't make themselves readily available. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, they're definitely an enigma, no doubt.
Yeah. So I couldn't say. I can't argue with you, but I can tell you from the hair samples that we sent out for analysis and whatnot, they just come back as there's nothing special about them, but you never know.
Yeah, there's a guy in Florida, him and his wife, they've got some really good pictures. And they've had hair samples, and some of them are like what you're describing, but then they'll have
uh-huh.
hair from, have some that have the, like a prismatic look to it under a microscope. It's really strange.
Who are you speaking about, Keith?
What's that, TJ?
Who in Florida are you talking about?
I'd have to pull it back with my computer, but they have a YouTube thing where they're trying to get the state of Florida to you know protect these things in their area. And I mean, they have some amazing pictures and videos of this cloaking stuff that's happening here. I can look them up for you and email you the information.
Yeah,
well, you know, TJ, we spend lots of time in Florida, and there's a lot of people out there that claim to have seen the creature, and we even found some prints one time. Turned out they were chimpanzee prints.
Yep.
But,
you know, he
that's
Florida,
that's a pretty wild area. They've got lots of different critters out there that are thriving that nobody believed could ever be out there.
Oh,
they have real rough weather, and they escape from zoos and everything else.
In depth, Bobby. Folks, this is Jabba Bob, the world famous Jabba Bob. We call him Jabba, but you know.
And DJ is my brother from another mother.
Yeah, he has that effect on people.
Yes, he does.
You know, when you say husband and wife team, you know, I only think of one person, and it's Dustin Tudope. He's probably one of the only real decent researchers that, you know, actually have any credibility down there in Florida. That's why I was curious if that's who you were talking about or not.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to look him up now. Him and his wife both, you know, I'm real impressed with what they're doing down there. Like I said, it's a husband and wife team, so...
Well, there's a lull. I got to tell you guys a quick story about Florida. We were out there,
please,
and TJ got charged by a wild boar. I'd have freaked out. You know what TJ did? Picked up his boot and kicked it in the nose. Ran away.
That sounds like TJ.
Yeah.
The only man I know that was born and raised and lives in the back of a truck.
Yeah, and it was in my truck.
Believe that. Yeah. I think he probably has a truck parked in his bedroom.
No. Oh, I keep it on the lawn in the driveway.
Well, TJ and I have been through a lot of stuff together out there in
yes,
the field.
Yes, we have. you know, Bobby, we've spent several years on the road. We probably put 200,000 miles together between you and me, you know, out there.
Actually, that's a, you got that right. I got over 250,000 miles on the truck.
Good Lord. Yeah. You know, God, you know, Bobby, I was hoping maybe you could share probably because, you know, you've been with us forever. You could probably share probably the one of the greatest experiences that you probably had while you've been out with us on expedition, because you really weren't.
Oh, my, there's so many. There are so many. My goodness. We've been through a lot together, and it's a part of my life that is really a blessing. My wife didn't appreciate it because it's on the road all the time, but I tell you what, learned a lot of stuff and met a lot of wonderful people and some kind of outlaw people too, didn't we?
Absolutely. You know, folks, Bobby wrote a book around 10 years ago. It's called Footprints in Your Mind. Is that what it's called, Bobby?
A Monster's Myths and Me.
That's what it was. The website was Footprints in Your Mind. That's right.
Right.
Okay. Monster's Myths and Me, folks.
Does crypto reality ring a bell?
Does who?
Crypto reality.
No, sure doesn't.
Yeah, check those guys out. That's just Mark and Mel. They're out of Florida.
Where do you see them at? On YouTube or something?
Yeah. It's Crypto Reality.
Yeah, you know how I feel about them YouTube things. So.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying. I mean, I think you check these two out. I think you'll feel a little different about these two.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll feel anything until I meet with them, you know.
You check out some of their pictures they've got. I mean, the cloaking stuff. I mean, they've had some amazing pictures.
Outstanding. Well, folks, you know, you got to hear it 100% live here, all about the environmental reactive camouflage that these creatures have. You can check out the website, BigfootLive.net. You'll see the pictures that. I'm sure Marco will have up regarding Keith's photos. Keith, I want to thank you for coming on. We've got to get to a commercial
Absolutely.
Break, and we're going to come right back with Jimmy Boots and Java Bob. Let's hit that commercial, Marco.
No.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film
I will be damned.
On the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
A damn cloaking blanket.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
What? Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we are back.
Yes, we are.
You know, that's an amazing little segue there.
Thinking about that, you know, that's almost 13 years ago we put that movie out, Bigfoot Lives One. You know, folks, you can get it at searchingforbigfoot.com. Go to our store. You can pick up mugs, buttons, shirts, placemats, hats, and one of our 8 movies that we've got out regarding Bigfoot. It's almost been 13 years, Marco, since we produced that flick.
I know. It's a long time.
It is a long time, and it brings back vivid memories because I was there watching all that stuff when it was happening. And I can verify everything in those movies is for real. It's for real.
Bobby,
if you haven't got a hold of one of those videos, you're crazy. You need to check them out.
Thanks for that, Bobby. You know, when folks, Bob Schmalzbach, you know, wasn't a believer. He just lived in a small town up in the Hicks, where we call it the Hicks in California. I was maybe hoping you could share a little bit about your story, Bob, and you know, how we kind of got together and how you went from non-believer to believer and part of the crew and vice president of the company.
Well, I'll tell you, I had started a little business in town. I lived out on a river, and I really didn't think too much of people around there that said they saw it. And the name of my business was Java Bob's Bigfoot Deli, which I just thought was because Bigfoot was supposed to be in that area. Some local artists had put up a big metal statue of a Bigfoot and things like that in our area. And a lot of things in town referred to Bigfoot. And we were down the road a bit from Bluff Creek, where the Patterson film was supposedly filmed. And so I started this little business called the Java Bob's Bigfoot Deli. That's how I got the nickname Java Bob. And one day this guy came through town checking things out, and he saw the deli and came in to check it out. His name was Tom Biscardi, a name you guys might recognize. And we started talking, and he was with some other group at the time, and they were giving him all kinds of hassles and problems. One of the guys there was absolutely bonkers. It was just crazy. And Tom and I started talking, and I said, well, look, you know, I like what you're doing and who you are and everything. Why don't you just dump those guys and we'll start another company. We'll call it Bigfoot Lives or something like that. And he said, well, okay, let's do that. And that's how I got involved in all this. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yep. You know, I think our first time I met Bobby, we flew into California, we got in the truck, and we started expedition right from there. If my memory serves correctly, we went right to Paris, Texas.
Paris, Texas was amazing. Absolutely amazing. There was somebody there who since passed who seemed to have a connection with these things, and he would leave them toys and things like that, and they eventually start showing up at a little pond like he had there a little ways away from the major lake itself.
You're talking
and,
about
he invited us out to check it out. And by golly, that was one of the most prolific places we've ever checked out.
Yeah. Oh. You know, Mike Sims, he passed, what, close to 10 years ago, I think.
Yes, he did.
Mike and Sandy Sells. That's who it
right.
was.
I still stay in contact with Sandy once in a while. Haven't talked to her about 10 months, but check on her every now and again. She's doing good. She said that since he passed, there hasn't been near as much activity. So he did have this connection there.
He sure heck did, man. I mean, you know, I had my first encounter there, and it was prolific, and, you know, that's what got me into doing this. I was like, hey, you guys are nuts. Let the young guys do it. We'll figure it out. I remember that. Wow.
I remember you were there and you went on that water chasing that thing until you were more than hip deep in the water. We had to get you out of there.
Yeah, that wasn't one of my smartest things to do, you know, but I figured it was a guy in a suit out there playing with us, you know.
This lake had these huge clams in them. They were just like almost the size of a teacup plate or
Maple
whatever you call it, saucer. And we found one time that had two incisor teeth scrape marks in it where something had been scraping the clam out of it and eating it. I still have that somewhere.
I'm sure you do. Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Amazing stuff. You're a believer out of me.
You've always been a believer, I think, in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, being able to...
Well, I wanted to see some proof, and I saw some proof, so definitely believe in that.
You know, I'm trying to think, between you and me, we probably casted 200 footprints. Especially
I know we have from baby footprints all the way up to one we found here actually in Happy Camp. That was one about 18 inches long, looking at me right now, hanging on my bedroom wall. Yeah, that one was like 24 inches.
Yeah,
that one came from Happy Camp.
Was huge. Happy Camp. Rex found that one. Rex Howdy.
Right. Mixed out his shell. That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
Coming down from the graveyard and the end of the airport.
Right. My goodness.
Yep.
You know, it's just...
She had the... One of the things that was happening there that she called us out for was that there was a natural hot spring on her property on the way down to the creek, to the local creek. And... She said this thing would come and sit in this hot tub. And we went, okay. So we went and checked it out. And coming down the hill, she said it came down. We found that footprint and went, uh-oh, there's something to this story.
Wow.
So, remember we put up cameras and everything else that people could get online and check out and never did get anything concrete out of that. But the neighbors were complaining that we had cameras up. Key into their yards, so eventually we had to take it down. But yeah, we tried everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody's a believer, and nobody, you can't please everyone. So, you know, you do what you got to do, and this world's going to be full of the non-believers. But we know what we've seen, what we've experienced, and the creatures that we've walked with in the woods across this planet.
Absolutely.
How can a million people be, wrong, everywhere in the world, not just the U.S., the world, the sightings happen all the time. Now, let me get me wrong, there's tons of bullshit sightings out there with people, see this big black spot up on the hill a mile away? That's a Bigfoot. It's also there the next day, and the day after that, and a week later, for some reason that Bigfoot doesn't move.
Australia has the Yowie.
They all want their fame.
Yep.
Bobby, I'm so glad you came on this evening. It's so good to hear your voice and for you to share your stories with us. And we'll definitely have to have you back. Time flies, doesn't it? Time flies.
Oh, it sure does. It sure does. Well, that fall I had, I'm still not over that, so I still got some issues I got to deal with. Okay.
Well, you're doing well.
I'm salty. I'll get through it.
Fine. Outstanding. So good to hear. One of these days we'll have to do a little get on the road again. And you won't have to leave the truck. We'll just drive around and look at all the spots. What do you think?
I love it. I couldn't think anything better.
Yeah. It would be wonderful. Marco, we're going to hit a commercial. Bobby, I want to thank you for coming on. If you'd like, please stay and listen. We're going to pop on over to Pennsylvania and talk to Jimmy Boots out there right after commercial break, folks.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotti and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we are back.
Yes, we are. Folks, don't forget to get over to our Yahoo store at searchingforbigfoot.com, where you could actually pick up Bigfoot Lives and Bigfoot Lives 2, and you'll get to see Java Bob trekking across the U.S. with me and the rest of the team back then when we had such a blast. You know, we were talking about reactive camo and how things can trick the eye. And, you know, we got a gentleman, he's a good buddy of mine. He's up in Pennsylvania, and he's actually doing a movie right now, or a series of some sort, where it has to do with monsters, myths, and mysteries all across the U.S. And how are you doing, Jimmy?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad to hear you. I'm glad to hear about the cloaking.
You know, when Keith was talking about that, my brain kept popping back to you and how you were explaining things to me about the camera and everything. What do you think about that?
The using, for instance, like full spectrum and a green, I totally agree with them. And I couldn't understand how I couldn't figure out how to show people what I was seeing. And to hear this tonight, it just makes me very happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, this show opens minds and eyes of people all across the planet, brother, you know. There's more people in common than there aren't, you know. You think to yourself,
right,
oh, my God, I saw Bigfoot. Am I going to say anything? Somebody's going to make fun of me. Then you find out they actually think about more things than you thought because it's actually something along the lines you've been thinking about, you know.
Exactly.
You know, why don't you tell us what you and your lovely wife have been out doing, making this new movie and how things are going.
It's going good. It's going good. A lot of learning experience on how to deal with people. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But,
that's the tough part.
It is. And a lot of times they don't understand time is money, you know?
Right. Right. You know? Tell us kind of what's going on with the movie. How's it coming along? Have you got any stories? I remember you said you were going to kind of mix it all up with ghosts and Bigfoot and Dogman and all that stuff. Have you picked up any good trails about the creature?
Well, just the not so much the creature, except what's happening here, what I've been dealing with the cloaking part. But, you know, I have some photos myself where, you know, it's there, and I like to take several photos, turn, take some more one way, come back. And I do have something that appears to be a Bigfoot. It appears to be cloaking. It even appears to have a small Bigfoot in the arms. And That wasn't the first time I seen it either. So, but it's hard to tell people when you want to tell them that I think this thing can disappear and come back. You know what I mean? When it floats.
Sure.
A lot of people don't believe in that. You know? And,
you know, I mean, does it disappear or is it still there? That's the question.
It's still there. It's cloaking, yes. And the pictures I have, it actually, you can see it slowly going away. And I do have this, the one guy that's seen the Bigfoot down on the main road. And when they jumped in front of him, being in the vehicle he was in, he has these really bright lights all around the vehicle. So he flipped them on instantly. He said when he did that, it was like it just disappeared. It's like when the light hit him, the creature just totally disappeared.
It brings back to what Keith was saying, how the light refracts off of the little tiny mirrors, but the what was the word he used? Acandescent or something, you know?
Yes.
Achromatic, exactly. Achromatic. Oh, wow.
Correct.
Wow.
You know,
so let
TJ,
me ask you this, Jimmy. Yeah.
There was a video that the Iraqis took of an American tank running into an IUD, and it blew just the wheel off. It didn't blow the tank up, and then the people were coming out of the tank, and one of the things it showed is it showed there was just kind of like nothing, and all of a sudden a guy appeared right at the tank door to go in. And this was, I think, taken maybe 5 years ago. And
I'm not following you, Marco.
Well, the Americans have this cloaking type cloth or uniform, evidently, and that's what it looked like. And, very similar to that little demo that I showed you.
Oh,
where you have the blanket,
you, okay.
You see nothing but the background, foreground.
Sure.
None of
sure.
this is electronic. It's all visual. It's all static, just, I don't know, mirrors or whatever it is. It's a material that just shines and bends the light around, evidently.
Wow.
That's what I was saying. When you're saying that the Bigfoot cloaks or his camos, right? I mean, actually, camouflage, if you want to look at it, I mean, you know that, don't you? I mean, you know everything about camouflage, right?
Yeah, I know a little bit about it, right?
You know. Saves your life, pretty much. I mean, they switch around the uniforms and things like that.
The government spent $5 billion on research on. That was a horrible camo. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I know. Trying to make an all-in-one.
Yeah, sorry, it doesn't work that way. But I want to get back to Jimmy here because I'm sure he's been out filming, and I want to hear if he's got any good stories about, you know, I like to work perusing of the ghost side a little bit here. He's the one who kind of got me into it. So tell me, Jimmy, what's going on the ghost side? Anything happening?
I had a very interesting night the other night. We went to Harper's Ferry, and a friend of mine owns one of the houses down in there that predates the Civil War. And he actually lost a friend not long ago to an overdose, who was a musician. But that's not why we were there. But it happened to be when we were doing our investigation, his friend decided he was going to talk to us through the ghost box that we had, where it's the radio that we scan the radio frequencies and they're able to communicate with us through there. I think we did it when you were here at the house.
Yeah, and, loved it.
Yep. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Remember Scott came through?
Yes, yes. And this guy's name was Dave, and he came through, and oh, my God, to hear everything come out exactly as it did, it was just amazing. He was able to communicate with his friend one more time, you know?
Wow.
Yes, it
was folks,
amazing.
There's this box, it's called the Ghost Box, and I don't know how it works, but you would ask questions to a box and responses would come, you know, not all the time, but whenever I guess the frequency got right and it came back and it would answer questions, very specific questions, you know, like asking it, what's your name? Who are you? And he would come back with Scott. I think he came back with Scott four or five different times. Kind of weird, kind of cool, kind of neat, you know? And it just proves that, you know, closed mind doesn't see anything, okay? A closed mind.
It's amazing how many things there are in this world that we just don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. Well, where's the time going to? Hey, guys, I know Keith, you're still there. Jimmy, you're there. Bob, there. I'm going to bring in everybody else and see if they have any questions. Let's start with
they're
Kentucky and Doyle Howcomb.
Hey, oh. Doyle. Rocky.
Hey, it's Doyle here.
Doyle, how are you, buddy?
Buddy, I've enjoyed this. This has been a real good Bigfoot meeting. I've really enjoyed this.
We aim to please. You have any questions for our guest this evening?
Here's the one thing that I've thought about. That in 30 years of police training and everything else that we've ever done, I was always taught that if you're in the dark, that's your friend. If you ever put yourself in a light, you're in trouble.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, think about that.
Yeah.
Think about
deep.
That.
Real deep.
Hey,
outstanding.
If you are out there and you don't want to be seen, stay in the dark.
Words from the wise.
You put yourself in the light, boom. But besides that, I want to say about my Bigfoot sightings and everything else in the world that I have, you know, I've been with Tommy, what now, 20 years, Tommy?
We're close, yeah.
How old is Jackie?
Jackie just turned 17.
Well, we're at least 17 years together.
Wow.
I was Jackie's T-ball coach, and that's how we met.
Yep.
And
Jackie is 17.
Oh,
17,
my God.
17, licensed and driving, I know.
Oh, my gosh, you got to quit feeding them.
Yeah.
Keep growing.
Yep.
But I was Jackie's
over
T-ball
in Arkansas.
Coach.
Rocky, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm good.
Good to hear it, buddy. Any questions for the guests or highs?
No, I'm just glad to hear from everybody. Doyle, Java, Bob, I've never met you, but I've heard so much about you.
Good to talk
some
to you and make another
good.
Friend, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was saying, I've heard so much about you, and some of it was good.
Just goes to show you these guys can lie some of the time.
No, never heard anything bad about you. And Doyle, well, we didn't have any sighting, but we had some excitement there here in Arkansas, didn't we?
We sure did.
Yes, sir, we did.
Awesome.
Well, me and the suite are fixing to go out there in the same area, hopefully this next week.
The first time I met Rocky Slavin, I knew we were friends for life because we was out there
in
the Dark Mountains, and whoa, bam. We were friends for life.
Outstanding, Rocky. I'm glad you were able to make it tonight. Leo, how are you, buddy?
Leo dropped out.
All right. Well, folks, you know, it's been another week of the Bigfoot Live Radio Show. And you can get to .net. I want to thank our guests, Java Bob. Java Bob Schmall is back, my brother from another mother. Keith up in Alabama. And we got Jimmy, the big man Boots, down in Pennsylvania. And all our good friends, Doyle, Rocky, the Swede, Leo. And let's not forget Ken up in Michigan. Folks,
We're going to see you next week. Don't forget to come join us, 7 o'clock Pacific Standard, 10 o'clock Eastern for people up late. See you next week. Bye, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, buddy. Love you, Rock. Love you. Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.